Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. There's been a fair amount of coverage nationwide and here in Delaware about the extent of groundwater contamination by toxic PFAS chemicals. The chemicals are increasingly being linked to some cancers, as well as low birth weights, elevated cholesterol, thyroid problems, and other illnesses. Just this month, a handful of Blades, Delaware residents filed a lawsuit against several companies, including DuPont and Chemours, that they blame for contamination of the town's drinking water with the chemicals in 2018. We've previously reported on the issue in Blades and questions about PFAS groundwater levels around both Dover Air Force Base and the Delaware Air National Guard Base in Newcastle. But now there are a new set of concerns being raised in the wake of recent news that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration also found PFAS chemicals in some foods. They were found in several states, including Delaware, during testing done in 2017. Contributor John Hurdle dug into this story for us last week in a piece you can find at DelawarePublic.org, and he joined me this week to discuss what we know and don't know. Let's start with the FDA report on these PFAS chemicals found in food. What did this report find?
Well, it found that there were these PFAS chemicals present in 14 of the 91 samples that the FDA took in eight states, including Delaware, in October of 2017. Now, they have, since their initial report, the FDA has slightly amended that figure. I mean, they'd initially said that there were 10 out of 91, they found the chemicals in there. They've now upped that number slightly. But the kinds of foods that we're talking about include 10 kinds of meat and fish, other foods including sweet potatoes, lettuce, even chocolate cake was found to have, that in particular, had a particularly high level of these PFAS chemicals. And then they also found them in a series of leafy greens. This was in a separate series of tests. Things like kale and spinach, and they were and cabbage, and those some of those results were positive, and they were taken downstream from a PFAS production plant somewhere in the eastern U.S. They didn't say where.
What, if anything, do we know about what was found in Delaware?
Well, unfortunately, really very little. You know, and that the FDA has not specified where it found these chemicals in Delaware or in any of the other eight states that make up its the FDA's Mid-Atlantic region. So, unfortunately, we're still waiting for details on that.
What reaction did state officials you talked to have to this information, and kind of, you know, piggybacking on that, what is the state currently doing to address PFAS contamination in general?
Well, I think we should point out here that there's a growing gap between states that make their own or are in the process of making their own regulations on these chemicals and those that do not and rely on the federal government for the federal government's advice on the appropriate health levels. Now, Delaware is in the latter category. It does not set its own limits on PFAS chemicals, whether they be in food or drinking water. So DENREC follows the lead of the EPA on this, and the EPA's the EPA issues guidelines. They're not requirements, but they're just what they call a health advisory limit for just a couple of kinds of these chemicals in drinking water, and a lot of advocates for tougher regulation of these chemicals say that the EPA's guidelines are actually too lax to protect public health. Nevertheless, DENREC continues to follow those levels, and they say that they will continue to work with the EPA to set what they call maximum contaminant limits for those particular chemicals.
And that's more or less they didn't have a specific reaction to what the EPA found in terms of food, correct?
That's correct, yes. That was their only response.
Now, you've noticed in you noted in previous reporting that Delaware Senator Tom Carper has taken up this issue of PFAS contamination, and he has been trying to push the EPA on this issue, particularly on drinking water. Remind us what he's trying to accomplish and how he's reacting to this news of contamination in foods.
Well, after the FDA report came out, Senator Carper issued a statement using this new evidence of PFAS in foods as opposed to drinking water. I mean, we should say that most of the campaigning and most of the state regulation on this issue so far has been on the issue of drinking water, which is why it's interesting that we now have additional evidence that these chemicals are showing up in food. In any case, Senator Carper used this FDA release to drum up support for several bills that would curb these chemicals in various ways. One of these bills calls on the EPA to speed up its proposed regulation of the two chemicals that I mentioned before. Another bill would designate PFAS as hazardous substances. So he's hoping that this new evidence is going to increase congressional support for those bills.
You mentioned that for the most part, the advocacy on dealing with PFAS to this date has dealt with water quality, water supplies. And now we're seeing it in food. Is there any sense of how these chemicals are getting into the foods that they were found in?
The FDA did offer some pointers on that. They talked about the contamination of water, contamination of soil. They also pointed to a possible source through food packaging. And what advocates say about that is that some food packaging is manufactured in countries that do not control PFAS in their industrial processes, and so that's a possible reason how the chemicals kind of got into food. Another issue here is that of sewage sludge. Now, this is kind of an unsavory topic, obviously, but that is the residue that's left over from by wastewater treatment plants after they've processed sewage, and this so-called sludge is used to spread on agricultural fields as a fertilizer in some places, and it's not subject to federal regulation, so. So farmers can use this without it being tested for any PFAS content. But there is now one state, Maine, that any sludge used to be tested before it goes on fields. And so that's an indication that there is that there's growing concern about that. As a source of this contamination.
Is there any sense of how much a threat this PFAS in food is at this point compared to, example, for the threat it poses in water quality?
Well, the FDA said that even though it found these positive results in a certain number of foods that it tested, it's unlikely to be a public health threat. I mean, it was the FDA is very clear on that, that it doesn't see this as a risk to public health. Now, the advocates for tighter restrictions on this thing say that even very low levels of PFAS, whether they be in water or food or anywhere else, do have the potential to hurt to damage human health. And there's a long list of health conditions, as I think you mentioned in your introduction, Tom, including various kinds of cancers, high cholesterol, and even low birth weights develop mental problems. And so a lot of people are sounding the alarm on this at various levels. And what the advocates will tell you is that the EPA continues to drag its feet on this.
What do we know about the amount of testing that the FDA is doing on this issue? Are they continuing to test? Is this something they're kind of continuously looking at?
Well, yes, they are. They put out an additional statement on this just on Tuesday, following up their report where the evidence of this of the food contamination came out. And what they said in this latest statement is that yes, there is more work to be done. They've set up an internal work group. They're working with state and federal partners on how to deal with this, and they're sharing this with scientists overseas because this is not just a U.S. problem. I mean, we should say that on the state level, some of Delaware's neighboring states are being increasingly active on this issue. New Jersey, for example, is a national leader on regulating PFAS in drinking water. It's in the process of adopting some very tough limits on at least three of those chemicals. And Pennsylvania, which until recently was also dragging its feet on the issue, is now in the process of setting up its own. It's begun the process of setting its health limits, saying that it wasn't going to wait any longer for the federal government to get on the case.
And you mentioned in your piece, you know, the way this information came to light was somewhat interesting. It was presented in a poster at a recent conference in Finland, which was then photographed by an environmentalist, then sent around and published by the Environmental Working Group, a nonprofit that campaigns for these tighter curbs on PFAS chemicals. Did the FDA offer any reason why it hadn't released this information previously, that it had to kind of come out in this kind of, you know, not official way?
Well, it's a good question, and no, they did not explain that. But what they have said since is that the that even though these samples were collected in 2017, they weren't analyzed until this year. Now, why it takes the government 2 years to do an analysis of this kind, I don't know, and I think that we would like to know. But that latest statement gives this a somewhat more up-to-date slant on this.
And finally, you know, based on the people you've talked to, how much does this new information raise the level of urgency to address PFAS here in Delaware and elsewhere nationwide?
Well, I think the advocates will tell you that it absolutely adds to the urgency of this because it is additional evidence that these chemicals are pervasive, and what the scientists will tell you is that the chemicals are present in nearly everybody almost in the high 90% range of American citizens. That can be found with these chemicals, with traces of these chemicals in their blood, and the other point to bear in mind here is the other point to bear in mind here, Tom, is that these chemicals were designed not to break down, and therefore, even though they are not widely manufactured or used anymore in the United States by U.S. companies, they're still persistent in water supplies and, as we now know, some food supplies as well, because they don't break down in the environment. And so that's one of the reasons for the continuing concern here.
Thanks to contributor John Hurdle for his time this week. His piece on PFAS chemicals found in food locally is available at DelawarePublic.org. Next, contributor Larry Nagengast joins us to look at work to improve historic preservation efforts in Newcastle County. Stay with us. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.